Hello and welcome to Reading the Library Book. This is a podcast in which I read the library book, one chapter at a time. And we have arrived at chapter 14. And what can I tell you? I think I'm just going to read you chapter 14. Chapter 14 is called Trilburdrop's Design. It turned out that I didn't even have to worry about Becky's response to Plato because she started screaming before she even saw the crocodile and missed his entrance entirely. What is going on here? Where are we? What is happening? Animals don't belong in buildings. I want to go home. There was a rumbling sound that came from the direction of the elephant. It wasn't an unpleasant rumbling. It sounded like a cross between a cat's purr and a hungry belly amplified through a school intercom. Sarkis, the elephant, took a step back. The sound had silenced everyone, even Becky, for a moment. But then she started shouting again. Sarkis's librarian, Mahout, bowed to the elephant and then began walking very slowly toward Becky in a diagonal line. She had her head down as she approached, and she made funny sounds like a bird. Becky began to get a little quieter and then went silent as the elephant librarian came to stand beside her. Across the room, the elephant made those same funny bird sounds. Leopoldo, the burro, blew air through his lips. Plato, the crocodile, lifted up his head and exposed his neck. Basra, the ostrich, whistled and lowered her head. Strummer the pigeon pecked at something on the floor. Felix the turtle peeked out of his shell. I couldn't hear what she was saying, but Mahout was speaking very quietly to Becky, and soon Becky's face wasn't red anymore. When Toti and Felix the turtle turned to look at Johanna Juditha, Johanna Juditha shook her head ruefully. They were transported here without their consent and locked in the storeroom all day, she said. Oh, mes amis, said Toti. They have had a difficult and unexpected change of habitat. Oui, now I see. But you, she said, turning to me, you seem to be acclimated quickly. I came here on purpose, I said, to find our library. The books disappeared, and the people, too, so I came to find them. But the saddest news is that most of the books are below our feet. They've been used to make this floor.
Kate, how terrible, said Toti, the turtle librarian.
The only ones left are the ones that were in the basement, the ones that were broken or about to be donated to the book sale.
Terrible. Show me, please.
I took her to the section of the floor with my library books and pointed them out. Toti ran her hand over the floor, examining it, while the turtle peered down at all the titles.
Terrible, she said quietly. Fruchtansfart, Grozno, Kahir.
Then she turned to me.
I am so sorry. I am not sure how they could be extracted. It will take an expert. For now, I think we must acknowledge your library lost.
I nodded. It was very sad. But I knew there was nothing we could do about it for the moment. I'd heard all about that extra strong floor varnish from the chair. I noticed, as Toti spoke with me, the other wandering librarians had been talking with the other kids. Mahout, the elephant librarian, was clearly explaining things to Becky. Jardin, the pigeon librarian, was talking with Svetlana, and Oswaldo, the burro librarian, was talking with Demetrius. I didn't see Jalissa anywhere, but she must have been with the ostrich librarian.
Zami-moi, don't worry. The librarians are trying to acclimate your Zami to Akita, Toti explained to me. People are not so different from the animals. They need time and attention to adjust from one habitat to another.
What does
Zanmi mean? I asked.
Ah, said Toti. In the language of my bird, Zanmi is friend. And when I make a friend, I can only use my native word. I know very well the words for friend and ami and amigo and sadik and philos and rafiki and 20 other words in 20 other languages, but Zanmi is the one that really means it. I know we just met, but I know already that we are Zanmi.
Just then, Jalissa reappeared with the ostrich and the ostrich librarian next to her. They seemed out of breath. Akslam, the ostrich librarian, waved and said, "Hello, hello, hello. Yes, I am Akslam, in case we haven't met yet. This is my library, Basra, and this is Jalissa, and we have made a discovery. Jalissa, would you explain, please?"
"Sure," said Jalissa. "We were just looking through that corridor there, and it appears to be an endless corridor of rooms. It just goes on and on and on. We ran and ran, and it just kept going."
Basra the ostrich appeared to agree as her beak went up and down.
Akslam said, "Yes, and this reminded me of something I read in those books that brought us here. I had thought the ballroom's architect's name was familiar when I read it."
"Trilberdrop, so?" asked Mahout.
"Yes, Trilberdrop, renowned architect of the brand new ballroom of Omphalos," the book said. "But seeing all those lounges repeating and repeating one ridiculous room after another made me remember where I'd read about Birdrop before, unfortunately. Yes, he was referenced in a book about prison design. He is apparently especially gifted at creating beautiful jails. Or crafty cages, tricky traps. Yes, and that, my friends, is what we find ourselves in, a beautiful, clever trap."
Becky wailed.
"How are we going to get out of here?"
Mahout, the elephant librarian, leaned into her and made a chirping noise.
"Yes, it does seem bad, unfortunately, yes, but do not despair," said Akslam. "Mr. Birdrop has a pattern, and his prisons tend to all feature a similar way out. Yes, I will bet a lot that that wall there,"
she pointed to the only wall without a door,
"is porous. Yes, you can move right through it under the right conditions, but most people don't know what the right conditions are, unfortunately, nor would they think to check on the solidity of a very solid wall."
"That would explain why the car could get through it, but probably Eamon couldn't, don't you think?" I asked. "And he could be just beyond the wall."
"Let us hope," said the music librarian.
"Now wait, just a skeeter flying minute right here," said Cooper, the crocodile librarian.
"Did you just say Eamon?"
Jaudan added, "Eamon, of longish line of wandering librarians, is he all right? We worried when we did not see him."
"He was rescuing me," I said. "When I ended up in the cradle the same way you ended up here, I expect. By one of those books wrapped in burlap."
The wandering librarians nodded and then shook their heads.
"Yes," said Akslam. "We should have been suspicious when we found those books scattered among our tents. Unfortunately, we are all irredeemably curious people."
"To our detriment, so," said Mahout.
"To our credit," said Zaudan. "Person who sent us here knew this. Used our best quality against us."
"But who sent us here?" asked Demetrius.
"We didn't open any weird books."
"We cannot be sure, unfortunately," said Akslam,
"how you got to Akita
or this ballroom."
"It was the chair who brought Leandra and I here to the ballroom," said Johanna Juditha. This made all of the wandering librarians exclaim, then murmur, and bring their heads together to confer. Several of the librarians got very animated, and some of them hit their fists and shook their heads. Then Oswaldo turned to us.
"I am sorry, niños. I am trying very hard not to be the big goat right now, but I feel the way so many of my colleagues do. Because we have realized it is possible," said Oswaldo, "that the chair imprisoned us as well, and it makes us very upset." The chair does not like the union of wandering librarians, so, said Mahout. She always tried to divide us. Bless that crazy woman's heart. I heard she once tore a book clean in half, said Cooper, right in front of a room full of librarians. The librarians all gasped. Right in half, said Cooper, shaking his head. Wow, 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 said Axlam. Strummer, the pigeon, whistled, and Jaudan whistled and said, we need to get through that wall like our eyebrows are on fire. Yes, to get through there, unfortunately, what we need is momentum, said Axlam.
Momentum? Asked Demetrius.
Yes, one has to be going very fast to get through the wall, otherwise it is painfully solid, unfortunately.
Jalissa had gone to the wall and put her hand on it to feel. Feels like any other wall, she said.
Yes, said Axlam, it should. It will take running at it, unfortunately, and it is a great act of faith to be going so fast towards something you are sure is solid. I'm not sure how our libraries could be convinced, or even ourselves, unfortunately.
The other wandering librarians agreed that their libraries would have a hard time running at a wall, not to mention they themselves.
How do we know this is true? Asked Demetrius. What if I were to run full speed toward that wall? How do I know I'm not going to smash myself into bits?
Yes, that is a good question, unfortunately, said Axlam, while the ostrich bent her head into Axlam's waist.
I have an idea, said Jalissa. And she took off her shoe and hurled it at the wall with great force. The wall engulfed it, and the shoe disappeared like a berry falling into custard.
Okay, everybody, thank you so much for listening to Chapter 14. We are getting to know our wandering librarians a bit more. And I have a couple questions for you. The first is, does this book need illustrations? And if it does, tell me who you imagine, like what, who is an illustrator who's, or an artist of some kind, whose work you think you imagine. So I would love to know that, if that's interesting to you. And if you think it needs illustrations, tell me where you would put them. So would it be, well, actually just, yeah, just that's an open question. Where would you want one or two or three or lots? So let me know that. And if you, the accent I'm struggling with most right now is the Somali accent. So Axlam, I imagine, is from Somalia, and I keep going in and out of that, and it's a little tricky. So if you know anyone from Somalia, can you put me in touch? Because it's tricky. There's a kind of Western African accent that is not Somalian, and so it's not what we normally think of as African. But I'm not quite getting the rhythm, I think. And I would love to be able to sort of slide it into her written speech as well. So if you know someone from Somalia, please share this podcast with them. And please share this podcast with anyone, everyone. Oh, goodness. Listen to that. Outside, there is much hullabaloo. So share the podcast. Can you hear that? That's the garbage happening outside my apartment. Yes. So share the podcast with anybody that you think might be interested, and I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. The way to do that is to, well, let me know any way you'd like. You can reach me, please feel free. And the email address is leandralibrary@gmail.com. The Google Voice mailbox is 646-847-8758. That is 646-847-8758. You can always read the words online. Sometimes it takes me a couple days to get the chapter up online, but it will be there. And other things? Are there other things? I don't think so. So thank you so much for listening to Chapter 14. And yeah, how do you feel about Trill Bird Drop? Is that, well, I just named him recently, and I named that book recently. So I'm wondering, is it too silly? It's kind of a silly name. I don't know. Let me know what you think about Trilbird Drop's name and the imaginary book that he wrote. I think that's all. Yeah. So thank you all so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And especially if you're still listening now here on chapter 14, we've come a long way. We have met some of the other wandering librarians and, more journeys to come. So thank you.